an uncivilized men who are watering at night in the moon of darkness. May Lord Ramachandra, who killed his demons in the presence of Lakshmana, be kind enough to give us protection. Okay, text 6 and 7.
Yodoka viro samito tanurasi mugram Sita swayambara grahe trishakopanitam Adaya baladajalila yuvekshuyastim Sajjai pritam rupavrikshya Paja babhanjamadye Jitvanarupakunasila vayongarupam Sita abhidam shriyam purasi Avila Abhilabdhamanam Marge vrajan vrindupate vayanat Prarudadam Darpam mahim akrita yastrinay arajabicham.
Translation. O king, the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra were wonderful, like that of a baby elephant. In assembly where Mother Sita was to choose her husband, in the midst of the heroes of his world, he broke the bow belonging to Lord Shiva. The bow was so heavy that it was to be carried by 300 men. But Lord Ramachandra bent and strung it and broke it in the middle, just as a baby elephant breaks a stick of sugar cane. Thus the Lord achieved the hand of Mother Sita, who was equally endowed with transcendental qualities of form, beauty, behavior, age and nature. Indeed, she was goddess of fortune, who constantly rests on the chest of the Lord. While returning from Sita's home, after gaining her at the assembly of competitors, Lord Ramachandra met Parashurama. Although Parashurama was very proud, having rid of the earth of royal order 21 times, he was defeated by the Lord, who appeared to be a Kshatriya of the royal order. Now finally, we reach today's verse, which is there on board, so I will chant it in between.
Yasatya pashakavrita piturnideshaam Yasatya pashakavrita piturnideshaam Yasatya pashakavrita piturnideshaam Yasatya pashakavrita piturnideshaam स्त्रीनस्य चापि शिरसा चक्रे सभार्यः स्त्रीनस्य चापि शिरसा चक्रे सभार्यः स्त्रीनस्य चापि शिरसा चक्रे सभार्यः राज्यं श्रियं प्रणयिनः सुकृतो निवासम् राज्यं श्रियं प्रणयिनः सुकृतो निवासम् राज्यं श्रियं प्रणयिनः सुकृतो निवासम् त्यक्त्वा ययौ वनम् असिन् इव मुक्तसङ्गः त्यक्त्वा ययौ वनमसून् इव मुक्तसङ्गः त्यक्त्वा ययौ वनमसून् इव मुक्तसङ्गः यसत्य पशप्रवृत पितुर्निदेशम् यसत्य पाशपरिवीत पितुर्निदेशम् स्त्रैणस्य चापि शिरसा चक्रे सभार्यः राज्यं श्रियां प्रणयिनः सुकृतो निवासम् त्यक्त्वा ययौ वनमसून्निव मुक्तसङ्गः
Yes. Yasatya-pa-sapa-ni-vita-pitur-nidesham
Stainasya-chapi-shidasa-chapi-desa-bhaya
Rajyam
Sriyam Pranayina Sudhudo Nivasam
Yatvaya
Yauvana Masur Iva Mukta Sangha Somebody else.
Yasasya
Pasha Parinita Pitur-nidesham Rajyam Sriyam Pranayina Sudhudo Nivasam Tekvaya Yauvana Masur Iva Mukta Sangha Mataji Yasasya Pasaka Vita Pudrutidesham Stainasya Chapi Sidasa Jagre Sahagyaha Rajyam Sriyam Pranayina Sukhruto Nivasam Yakvaya Yauvana Masur Iva Mukta Sangha Yasasya Pasha Parivita Pitur Nidesham Stainasya Chapi Sidasa Jagre Sahagyaha Rajyam Sriyam Pranayina Sukhruto Nivasam Yakvaya Yauvana Masur Iva Mukta Sangha Yaha Lord Ramachandra
Tuhu
Satya Pasha Pravita Pituhu
Satya Pasha Pravita Pituhu
of his father
who was bound
by the promise to his wife Nidesham
the order
Strainasya of his father
who was very much attached to his wife
Cha
also
Api
indeed
Sirasa
on
his head
Jagre
accepted
Sahagyaha
with
his wife
Rajyam
the kingdom
Sriyam
opulence
Pranayinaha
relatives
Sukhrutaha
friends
Nivasam
residence
Jatva
giving up
Yayau
when
Vanam
to the forest
Asun
life
Iva
life
Mukta Sangaha
liberated soul
Translation and purport by his divine grace of Echanagurti on the Swamishna
Prabhupada.
Translation, please repeat. Carrying out the order of his father, who was bound by a promise to his wife, Lord Ramachandra
left behind his kingdom,
opulence,
friends,
well-wishers,
residents,
and everything else.
Just as a liberated soul,
gives up his life
and
went to the forest
with Mother
Sita.
Maharaja Dasaratha
had three wives. One of them, Kaikeyi, served him very pleasingly, and therefore he therefore wanted to give her a benediction. Kaikeyi, however, said that she would ask for benediction when it was necessary. At the time of the coronation of Prince Ramachandra, Kaikeyi requested her husband to enthrone her son Bharata and send Ramachandra to the forest. Maharaja Dasharatha, being bound by his promise,
ordered Ramachandra to go to the forest according to the dictation of his beloved. And the Lord, as an obedient son, accepted the order immediately. He left without hesitation, just as a liberated soul, a great yogi, uses his life without material attraction.
ओम ज्ञानमिन्द्रस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुं श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सार्वजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साधवैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तत्कांक्षन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकृपालुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनि नाम्ने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी वाश्चैत्यदेशकारिणे श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Everybody knows Lord Ram, and as children, we grew up hearing these pastimes as stories. Our bedtime stories are pastimes of Lord Ram. It's a very interesting pastime. It has all the different components of drama, love, anger, deceit, everything is there. So it's so interesting to hear the pastimes of Lord Ram, many things he did. And here also, Sukadeva Goswami is very nicely describing different pastimes. And in the process of describing these pastimes, he cannot choose what to say and what to leave. So he just randomly throwing one pastime after other. He's saying, oh, he did this, he did this, he did this, oh, he did this also, oh, this also, oh, this also, this also. So many things. He's just trying to pack within his shlokas. You know, he chooses a long meter. He doesn't choose short meter. He chooses a long meter so that he can pack so much within the shloka that and he can give the gist of his last pastime within all the shlokas. So he chooses the right meter, especially shloka number 4, which is a long meter, and so many different things which is said. And then in our shloka today, here it's explained how Lord Ram, he actually renounced his whole kingdom. And then he went to the forest. It was an extraordinary circumstance because everybody was waiting for Lord Ram to become king. Everybody is waiting. When he will become king? When he will become king? Like that. Even Dasharatha is waiting. Even Kaikeyi is waiting. Oh, when Lord Ram will become king, I will see him sitting in the throne and I will be so happy. And then at the right time, then this one lady is there. Kaikeyi is made Mandara. She never liked Lord Ram because she was like some kind of hunchback, and then as a child, Lord Ram would childishly play with her, you know, using childish arrows, and then Lord Ram would shoot those arrows at her just for making fun. And then she had some enmity towards Lord Ram, and she wanted to choose the right time to exercise that enmity. And she went to Kaikeyi, and Kaikeyi was so happy hearing that Lord Ram is going to become king, and then everybody is happy, whole Ayodhya is in celebration mode, and so many things are happening. Somebody is tying balloon, somebody is tying festoon, somebody is sprinkling perfume water on the streets, so many things. People are so busy, somebody is lighting lamp, putting auspicious things, so many different things happening. And then Kaikeyi is also dressing herself very nicely. She's trying to prepare for coronation. You know, ladies, they have this idea, you know, that there's some function, then they start making big fuss about what to wear, how much to dress, which ornament, which dress, which sari, dress coordination, that, this, they make some big fuss about how to prepare. So all that is going on, and everything is auspicious, you know, all that is going on. Going on like that, and then this mantra comes, and then she's saying, do you know, Lord Ram is going to become the king? And I think, yeah, that's the best news I've ever heard. This is the news I'm waiting for. And then Kaikeyi says, you stupid woman. You don't know him. Do you know what Lord Ram will do to you and your son? What do? You keep me so nicely. He loves him more than his own mother. He loves you more than his own mother. What more do you want? No, this is all show. Also, he doesn't want Bharat to become his competitor. So he is making a grand show that he loves you, he loves Bharat. You see, Bharat is not even here. What time these people are choosing to coronate Lord Ram? They cannot wait for Bharat to come. Why? This is a huge conspiracy. Don't fall for it. The moment Lord Ram becomes a king, you'll be in jail. Your son, finished. Forget him. You will never see him. He will be thrown into the darkest of prisons. And then Kaikeyi is like, oh, is it going to happen like this? Yes, then what? You stupid woman. What am I supposed to do? Throw in the ornaments. Loosen your hair. Wear dirty dress. Fall on the floor. Your husband will come. He will try to pacify you. You know, he owes you 2 boons. This is the time to take it. By 1 boon, make Lord Ram to go to forest for 14 years. Banish him. By another boon, make Bharata the king. Then your life is set. So then Kaikeyi says, okay, this is what I am going to do. So she is doing the whole thing, the big drama. And Dasharatha is coming because Kaikeyi is the favorite wife of Dasharatha. So he is coming very happily to her palace, and then he wants to share his happiness with her, because whenever you are so happy, you go to the person whom you love most, and then you want to share the happiness with that person. So Dasharatha is coming, and then Kaikeyi is lying on the floor. And the whole apartment is so dark, there's no light, and she's like crying, and her hair is all open. No, that's why, you know, women, they should not leave their hair open, it should be plaited always. Women leave their hair open means this is inauspicious. So nowadays they don't know. They think that it's fashionable to leave their hair open. Women's hair should never be open. Women's hair gets opened when the husband dies or when there's something inauspicious in the house. Of course, when you take head bath, then you may want to keep the hair open for drying, but then once the hair is dried, you should plait it immediately. So these are important things you should know. So she was leaving her hair open, bang, 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 and then she was lying down on the floor. Then Dasharatha comes and asks that what is the problem. Then he said, oh, my dear king, you remember you wanted to give me 2 boons? He said, yeah, this is the best time to ask. I am in the mood of giving. Lord Ram is becoming the king. I have given my kingdom. I am ready to give everything. I am going to the conquest. Yes, tell me, what do you want? Bharat should become the king and Ram should go to forest. Hearing these words, Dasharatha immediately fainted. And then he got up and then said, oh, devilish woman, how did this idea come to you? You ask for my life, I will give my life. Anywhere apart from you, go away, I will die. Why do you do this to me? On this day, you chose this day to do this. Why are you doing this to me? This is what I want. If you can give this to me, then it's fine. If you don't want to give it to me, it's okay. You know what kind of king you are? He says, okay, what can I do? Because I have given my word. Now I am going to die. She can't leave. Okay, you die, you don't know, whatever. I want Bharat to be the king. I want Bharat to be the king. So then she sends word to Lord Ram. Lord Ram is preparing for coronation. Like the sages have given him a holy bath and that and this, and his hand is wet with the water which is mixed with turmeric and the water from various rivers and all these things. He comes there, he is thinking that Kaikeyi wants to give him some special gift and she wants to give him some special blessing, so he comes very happily. And then Kaikeyi says that, Ram, your father has told you that you should leave this kingdom for us for 14 years and your brother Bharat should become the king. But Ram doesn't blink an eyelid. He says, this is what my father wants, I am ready to do it. I can go now. I don't have a problem. And then Dasharatha is saying, don't listen to her. Put me in jail. You become the king. Don't listen to her. You are so powerful. You can overcome everything. Don't listen to her. Lord Rama is saying, no. You are the king. You are my father. You are given this promise. As a son, it is my duty to keep your promise. I will do it. That's why I said, Ram, 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 don't go, I will die. Ram says, no, you have promised, I have to go. If you don't keep your promise, it's worse than death. So I have to go. So he goes to Sita and then he says, I have good news for you. He says, what is it? I'm going to the forest. Then Sita, she doesn't bat an eyelid. She says, I am coming with you. I am coming with you. Wherever you are, I am coming with you. And they both are getting ready and Lakshmana is coming. What's happening? And then Lord Ram tells him that this is the plan. Lakshmana is very angry. You are born with a promise. I am not born with a promise. I am going to kill this Kaikeyi and Bharat. I will take my bow. I will finish the bow. One arrow. Finish. Then you become the king. Then Ram says, please, cool down, don't do this. Our father's promise, you have to keep it. This is my order. Then Lakshman says, what can I do now? Okay, then I'll come with you. What about your wife? No, she stays. I'll come with you. Because if she comes, then I cannot serve you properly because I have to take care of her. So she stays. Then Urmila, she doesn't bat an eyelid. She's Lakshmana's wife. She doesn't bat an eyelid. She stays. These are very important things, that how do we serve the movement? How do we serve Prabhupada? We should learn from Lord Ramachandra's past time, how do we serve Prabhupada? How selfless service is done? That if you see each and every personality, what they do things which it's not pleasant for them to do. Like Lord Ram, without thinking, he gives her, without even worrying anything, he just gives her the kingdom because it has to be given up. And Sita, Lord Ram told him, you can stay back, you will serve your mother-in-law, you stay back, you don't have to come to the forest. Without batting an eyelid, she goes to the forest because she knows that she has to be with Lord Ram and she has to serve him. And Lakshman, in spite of all his anger, in spite of all his ideas, he just gives up everything, surrenders to Lord Ram. Even his anger, he surrenders to him. And then he simply moves with him. And Lakshman's wife, she doesn't complain, oh, Sita is going, why I cannot go? She stays back. This is the mood of serving the movement, doing the needful. that we don't think that, oh, this is comfortable for me, this is not comfortable for me, this is how it should be, this is not how it should be. We don't think all these things. We simply do the needful. Without thinking of our personal comfort. This is called surrender. That we surrender to Prabhupada's instruction like this. And then it is so easy to actually serve the movement. So these are important things which we learn from the pastimes of Lord Ram as to how to surrender and how to serve. And then how to renounce. Because renunciation is the armament of the followers of Mahaprabhu. This is the armament of the followers of Mahaprabhu. But everyone should be renounced. And here, God, like Ram, he is actually renouncing, he is the Supreme Lord. For him, renunciation is the opulence. And there are different types of renunciation. Like in Bhagavad Gita, it is explained. There is renunciation in the mode of ignorance, which simply comes out of illusion. And there is renunciation in the mode of passion, which comes out of trouble. Or some fruity mentality, there is some renunciation comes. There is renunciation in the mode of goodness, where people renounce out of duty. And then there is renunciation out of love. Like devotee's renunciation, like Prabhupada's renunciation. It's a renunciation based on love. Unlimited love to give Krishna to the whole world. He renounces everything and then he walks off. And there's renunciation as an opulence, which is the Supreme Lord's renunciation, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu renounces. There's renunciation as an opulence. So everybody is renounced in this material world. Everybody practices some renunciation. But what kind of renunciation we are practicing, this we have to be very careful. Not renunciation in the mode of ignorance, simply comes out of illusion. That one thinks that I give up all good things, one has no idea that what to accept and what not to accept. And simply renounces things out of illusion. Sometimes in modern Islam, we have this idea that we should not criticize Mayavadi or Mayavad. We should be very friendly with them. Renunciation mode of illusion, mode of ignorance. Because for Vaishnavas, we have to criticize Maya. This is our existential necessity. Just like the existential necessity of a chaste woman is to criticize a prostitute. That she cannot be quiet without criticizing a prostitute. A chaste woman means she is existentially against a prophet. So we are existentially against Mayavadis. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchaya Desatarane. First is Nirvishesha, then Shunyavadi. If we are against Mayavadis, then atheists are taken care. So we should not think that our enemies are atheists and Mayavadi we should be friends with. Our first enemies are Mayavadis. And we can see the whole parampara, how it is there, our whole parampara, starting from Ramanuja. Ramanuja's spiritual master Yadava Prakasha, he was explaining the Upanishads to Ramanuja. And he was explaining the certain text of Upanishad. And Ramanuja could not actually, he could not actually come to hear that explanation. He was crying and hot tears were falling from his eyes. Because he gave such an insulting explanation that it cannot be told in this assembly where we are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. He was crying. And then Ramanuja made a vow that I will defeat Mayavad. That's why when we see Ramanuja's commentary to Bhagavad Gita and his introduction, actually Ramanuja cannot stop explaining the qualities of the Supreme Lord. He gives a beautiful introduction, and the introduction is full of qualities of the Supreme Lord. Trying to establish the Supreme Lord as a person. And then Madhva, he made a vow that I'll defeat Mayavadis. Our own parampara, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Every available chance defeating and demolishing Mayavadis. So we should be very careful that how we understand the mission of Srila Prabhupada. We should not renounce certain important aspects of our mission, thinking that, oh, this is not good for modern world. Then it will become renunciation in the mode of ignorance. Unless there is renunciation in the mode of passion, which is Maya renunciation. And they simply give up this whole material world because it's so troublesome. Neti, 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 neti. No, not this, not this, not this, not this, not this. Prabhupada writes in one passage, very funny, Prabhupada writes. When a person commits suicide, giving up his material body, he becomes a ghost. And when a person actually commits spiritual suicide, giving up his identity, this Mayavadi, these are the people, they are spiritual ghosts, these Mayavadis. There is material ghost, there is spiritual ghost. Mayavadi is a spiritual ghost. They commit spiritual suicide, giving up their identity, simply because of trouble. They get so troubled by individuality. Krishna says, they become so troubled by the individuality that they simply give it up. I don't want to be an individual. This is renunciation mode of passion. And then there is renunciation mode of goodness, that one actually renounces the fruits of action. One does action and renounces fruits of action. Whatever is prescribed duty he does, but he is very renounced about the fruits of action. This renunciation mode of goodness. But then the devotee's renunciation is beyond the three modes. It's simply a renunciation which comes out of unlimited love. Unlimited love to this humanity. That he actually wants to deliver Krishna. Tava tatamritam tatta jivanam kalini reeditam karma shapaham shravana mangalam srimadadatam bhuvigrinantiye bhuvidajana. He wants to do that. He wants to deliver Krishna to everything, to everyone. So he renounces. He renounces his comforts, he renounces his own life, he renounces even his own comfort zone. Like Prabhupada, you know, he was there in Radha Damodar, he was there, his spiritual life was very perfect, he was doing his sadhana, everything. But he is planning every day that how to take this mission to the West. Every day he is planning how to take this mission to the West. And then when he goes there, what all he has to do? When we read Leela Matlab, we see what all he has to do. Go and stay with hippies. From Radha Damodar to Hay Ashbury. It's such a big shift. From spiritual world to the most ignorant part of the material world. He makes that shift simply out of love. And then we can see today that even this assembly hall is actually filled with gems of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. So nicely guiding all of us. In the whole movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, telling us the essence of life. Not only sannyasis, grahasthas. We see Prabhupada disciples taking that mood of renunciation simply out of love. So much of trouble they face, sometimes institutionally, sometimes outside, so much of trouble. But still, simply focused on delivering the message of Srila Prabhupada. This is renunciation of love. And then there is renunciation as opulence, which is the supreme law of renunciation. Ramachandra, he is actually renouncing. It's his opulence. That he renounces all this kingdom, goes to the forest. And then, is he having a honeymoon in the forest? No. He goes to the forest simply to kill the demons. It's nicely explained here that he was killing the demons. And even as a small boy, like he was a small boy, and Vishwamitra comes, and then he is asking Dasharath, can you send your sons Rama and Lakshman to the forest? I am troubled by so many different demons. So can you send them? They can actually guard the whole sacrifice. Then Dasharatha says, no, no, I will come. These are small boys, what they will do? I will come myself.
Vishwamitra says, no, I don't want you.
I want them.
And then Vasishtha is telling Dasharatha, see, Vishwamitra, if he gets angry, it will be too much trouble. He wants Lord Rama and Lakshman, send them with him. And this is good.
And Dasharatha, he can't, anyway, his spiritual master is saying, so he has to send. So he sends Rama and Lakshman. And Rama and Lakshman, they actually go and they guard the arena of sacrifice. And great demons come. Great demons. They are all relatives of Ravana. They come. Maricha and different people. They come. And Rama and Lakshman so easily, they actually kill them. In Ramayana actually is translated in many Indian languages. Each and every Indian language has Ramayana. Ramayana is so famous in India. In Tamil, there's a beautiful translation that is
he's playing with bow and arrow.
Even Indrajit observed that how Lord Ram was actually in the battlefield. He's saying to his father, this person, he doesn't seem to exert himself. He's doing it so effortlessly. He's actually killing demons, scores and scores, but he's doing it so effortlessly, as if he's just playing.
So, the Lord is doing so many different things. He has so much of power. He has so much he can display, but still he renounces everything. That's his opulence. The supreme opulence of the Lord, like Parashurmani has explained, different opulences of the Lord, and renunciation is also his opulence. So like this, we are very fortunate to hear different pastimes of Lord Rama. In this part of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's given in a very condensed manner, but still they are so sweet. Every pastime of Lord Ram is so sweet. It's so nice to hear how he does things. He is called Maryada Purushottam. That one actually learns how to live life in this material world from the pastimes of Lord Ram. He is also very famous in South India we have this Okamata, Okabasha, Okabana, Okapatni. Three things. Okay. Okamata means he just one word. Okay. And then Okabana, only one arrow, Ramban. When he takes out Ramban, that means he's finished. Everybody, the enemy is finished. Nothing more. One arrow. And Okapatni means that one wife. Very important in Kali Yuga to follow that a man should be satisfied with one wife. Lord Ram showed us that this is how we should live. A man should be satisfied with one wife. Of course, in Kali Yuga now we have to say also a woman should be satisfied with one husband.
is also unfortunate situation of Kali Yuga, that we have to say these things. Before we don't have to say, for a woman like Mother Sita, there's no question of thinking, one more husband, or no question of telling Ram, okay, I'm going to divorce you. You want me to go to forest? You're crazy. I got married to you because you're a prince. You go to forest, I divorce you. No. There's no question. There's no question of Mother Sita giving up Lord Ram. But in Kali Yuga, we are in Kali Yuga, what to do? We have to say these things. That a woman, she should be satisfied with one man. A man, he should be satisfied with one woman. It's basic things of material life. Not some very high philosophy of Mahabhava and that and this and things like that. It's a very basic things of material life. This very high philosophy is so high, it's very difficult to understand. Without understanding these basic things, man is running behind woman, is running, woman is running behind man, where is Radha and Krishna? Finished. You can't understand what is Radha, what is Krishna. We cannot understand. If we are simply struggling behind man and woman, sometimes women get very envious of men. Oh, why men are like this? No, we should also be equal. Okay, take man's body. This is what you want? Become take man's body. But this whole man's body or woman's body is useless body if it cannot be engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord. That's why the ideals of Lord Ram are so important for devotees, especially girls. Very important to know Ramayana. Children should be told Ramayana, otherwise they will become monkeys. The monkeys have no control. They should be told Ramayana, they should be taught Ramayana, how to live a proper life. So, many lessons from some pastimes of Lord Ram. Sometimes in this one we don't discuss so much pastimes of Lord Ram, but it's very essential to discuss these pastimes. Many different pastimes are there. Even how brothers should be, like actually when Vali, he died, he's going to die, Sugriv goes to him and then he apologizes, and Vali actually tells him that see, you and me are brothers. Ram and Lakshmana are also brothers. It's unfortunate that we did not have relationship like Ram and Lakshmana. It's unfortunate. How brothers should relate to each other? Even that's explained very nicely in Ramayana. How a man should protect his wife. Lord Ram, he's so great, but he went all the way to Lanka to protect his wife. So these are important things we should learn from Ramayana. And then when we put these basics like when man is not running behind woman, woman is not running behind man, when you put these basics right, then we can peacefully chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, stop here. I have some questions, comments. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. At the beginning of the class, you were talking about one Mataji who was dressing very nicely, and you said no, dress up.
You said no, dress up, but an old dress. Can you explain why that is? I don't know the pattern. In the beginning of the class, there was a Mataji who was dressed very nicely. She said nice ornaments, and the person told her no. Take off ornaments, dress in old dress. Can you tell me why that is?
Yeah, because we're talking about Kaikeyi and Dasharatha. That's what we're talking about. So, Kaikeyi was dressed nicely for the occasion when she was actually thinking that Dasharatha will come, Lord Ram's father, he will come, and Lord Ram will also come and take blessing, etc. So, Kaikeyi was dressed for the occasion. So Kaikeyi's maidservant, she wants to spoil the whole thing. So she told
Kaikeyi, that you don't dress for the occasion, you dress in an inauspicious manner. So that's why when women are not dressed properly, like they are showing their body as if it is an exhibition, and when they are not dressed properly, this is inauspicious. So she wanted to create an atmosphere of inauspiciousness to show that she is not happy with Lord Ram's coronation. So then she did so many different things, like what she did all things which are inauspicious. Like she threw all things in all over the place. This is inauspicious. A house means it has to be neat. All things should not be thrown all over the place. So this is number one. Okay. Then she slept upside down on the floor. A woman is not supposed to sleep like that. Like they are face down. She is not supposed to sleep like that on the floor. Okay. Then she put her hat out. A woman is not supposed to put her hat loose. Then she threw all the ornaments. So these are all things which are actually inauspicious. Woman is not supposed to do these things. So she did everything which is inauspicious. And she put out the lights in the quarters. She was crying in darkness. So these are all inauspicious things which should not be done. It's very culture. It's a very subtle culture. That how things are expressed in Vedic culture is not like gross. Things are expressed in Vedic culture in a very subtle manner. You can actually see a woman and you can make out whether she's happy, not happy in Vedic culture, because a happy woman, she presents herself in certain way, she has certain things, a chaste woman, unchaste woman. These are subtle aspects of culture which are very important. And nowadays, sometimes we tend to think that culture and Krishna consciousness are not connected. You know, these are all some misconceptions we have. Yeah.
So, Vedic culture is an important part of our worldview. But I was reading ahead in the chapter here, and in verse 35, something came up that seemed to add some complexity to that. Maharaj was greeting Ramachandra back to the kingdom, and he arranged a big procession. And it says here, part of the procession were soldiers bedecked with golden armor, servants wearing betel nut, and many well-known and beautiful prostitutes. So these prostitutes were arranged to be part of the procession to greet Ram back to the kingdom. So not only were they beautiful prostitutes, but they were well known. So how was it that beautiful prostitutes were well known in part of this procession to greet Ramachandra, who's the ideal king?
Yeah, so first of all, in Vedic culture, it's not prostitutes are not allowed. Yeah, the first thing we should understand. That's what I'm saying. That first of all, we should understand in Vedic culture that it's not that prostitutes are not allowed. It is not that prostitutes are not allowed. Prostitutes were very much part of the Vedic culture, because Vedic culture provides for every type of man. A man who is a rascal, a man who is saint. Okay. Vedic culture provides for every type of man. So there are well-known beautiful prostitutes, and men who are rascals, they know that they should not disturb chaste women. They should go and satisfy themselves with the prostitutes. And mostly these prostitutes were dancers in temple and in the royal court. They used to dance publicly. And they are the only woman who actually danced publicly. So in Vedic culture, a woman doesn't dance publicly. He doesn't go on stage and dance publicly. Prostitutes go on stage and then they dance publicly. They also take many men. In Vedic culture, woman means one man, that's it. The moment you take more than one man, you will be called as prostitute. So the society had provided for prostitutes, and they were very much part of the society, and they were well known that they are prostitutes. And some of the prostitutes were also great devotees. And it's not that they are prostitutes means they are useless. Most of them are lustful, but there are some prostitutes who are also great devotees. So the prostitute as a class were there in Vedic culture, and they were used in this kind of, they used to take part in this kind of receptions. and they were maintained properly. Even Ajamila, we can see in Ajamila's pastime that he became, he actually associated with a prostitute, and then he had 10 sons with her. So, having a set of women who are identified as prostitutes is not a problem. That's part of a society. Society means good, bad, ugly, everything will be there. But trying to make the whole womanhood as prostitutes is the problem. That's what is Kaliyuga. That is the problem with Kaliyuga. That men are so unqualified in Kaliyuga that they see every woman, they want to have sex with her. This is the problem of men in Kaliyuga. They have no control, they have no training of brahmacharya, they don't know how to respect women, they don't know how to protect women, and they end up spoiling all the women. Or they try to spoil women. And women are also less intelligent. And then they become victims of these men. These men are telling that leave the protection of your family, leave the protection of your father, leave the protection of your mother, leave the protection of your brothers. You become independent. You come out. You say, J, I'm independent. For what? So that you can be available easily for me. You take economic independence. You earn money in society. For what? So that you can become easily available. So this whole idea of Kaliyuga and this feminism and this uncivilized and untrained men is simply to spoil all the women. In Vedic culture, not all women were spoiled. There were a class of women who were identified as prostitutes, and any man who cannot spoil, who cannot control his lust, went to the woman to actually satisfy himself. He got royally robbed by the woman. She used to take all his money, make him. Many stories are there like that also. So it's not very unusual that prostitutes are there.
Yeah, I understood that there were prostitutes. I mean, always. But what really caught my attention is that they were well known, like they were celebrities.
In other words,
there was a big phenomenon.
No, well known means that everyone knew that they were prostitutes. And to know that a woman is prostitute or not is not very difficult. If a woman takes a straight parting, she is a chaste woman. If a woman takes a side parting, she is a prostitute. It's as simple as that. Okay? It's as simple as that.
Excuse me, I don't know what you're saying.
Can
you say that again?
A woman who says straight parting of the hair, she is a chaste woman. Okay? A woman who takes side parting, she's a prostitute. So you see, I'm not saying about modern women, okay? Modern women sometimes don't even part their hair, okay? I'm saying in Vedic culture, it is clearly known that a woman who takes side parting is a chaste woman. A woman who takes side parting is a prostitute, okay? Even now, like 100 years ago, it was like that. I have seen, and even now in my own family, no woman takes side parting. Nobody takes side parting. They only take straight parting.
I've seen women who have.
Yeah, this is all modern. Yeah, this all these women who take side parting, take multiple parting of hair. This is all modern nonsense. It's very, very clear in Vedic culture that a woman means chaste means she takes straight parting. Okay? And when she is not married, she will not have sindoor on the head. When she is married, she will have sindoor on the head. Even Prabhupada says the same thing. That you know, woman takes tight parting, she is chaste. Tight parting is a prostitute. So it's not that you have to have a big thing to understand who is a chaste woman, who is a prostitute. And also prostitute, they don't wear the ringlets in the toes. It's only preserved for married women who are chaste. They wear the ringlet. So many subtle things you can find out that whether a woman is chaste or she is a prostitute, she is available. It's very easy to find out. That's why culture is very important. That you can, by seeing, you can find out. So well-known means it's not that they are putting advertisements saying that, you know, like the modern cinema stars, who are, most of them are prostitutes, they make big advertisements, you know, that that I am like this, I am like that. It's not like that well known. Well known means by appearance, by culture, you can easily find out.
But why were they in the parade to welcome Ram?
That is their job, to be in the parade as a, even if you see in the first canto, when Krishna enters Dwaraka, even there, to actually receive Krishna, prostitutes were there. And Kubja is a prostitute who actually invited Krishna to come.
Should we do that in our functions here?
So this is their function. What do you say? I didn't get it.
Should we start including that aspect of Vedic culture in our functions here?
No, we are not supposed to make prostitutes. Okay. And we are not supposed to.
There are many well-known ones there in Vedic culture, so then we need to find them and add them to our function.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is that.
I'm joking.
No, I know you're joking, but I'm seriously answering. Is that we don't have to find them. They are already there. Okay. So, if we cannot understand the importance of culture in Krishna consciousness, we'll always get confused like this. This is what will happen. That we should understand the importance of culture in Krishna consciousness. We are supposed to follow the culture of Srimad Bhagavatam. And if we are clear about that, then we will not have confusion. If we are not clear about that, we will have all this confusion. That should be invite prostitutes for a discount function. We will have this confusion. Because we don't understand the position of culture in Krishna consciousness.
This is Ramachandra, this is the ideal Vedic culture. This is the verse describing the ideal Vedic culture.
Yeah,
it's true. Ram Raj. Here they are in the parade greeting Lord Ramachandra.
Yeah, it's true.
It's true. So we are better than that now.
Yeah?
We are. Okay.
Okay, Dhanraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Vande
I'm not talking to you.